All right, everybody. It is the Geek Out Freak Out podcast. I am your host, Jeremy JVader82 on Twitter and Instagram. With me, as always, is your other host, your man, the fucking, I don't know. I'm already off the rails. I already lost. The man with the plan. The guy with the better facial hair than me. The guy with more hair than me. The sexiest person of this podcast. That's Matt
Salgado. Aw, thank you. You're definitely
Mateo 83.
I may be the sexiest, but you're definitely the most gracious. So
on Twitter and Instagram.
Thank you very much. You are a procurer of many of an action figure for me. you have helped me with my Pokemon addiction. You have. You have inspired me in ways.
I'm your smuggler.
And I think I really think.
I'm your smuggler.
That's you're my smuggler, and it's not smut.
It's fucking great how. Like, I show up at your house and I deliver shit that's not toy related, mm-hmm. and you get a text from your wife wanting
to know what
figures I bought.
What'd you get? And I have.
I am the bad influence.
I have spurred off of action figures, but I have found
you're in that Pokemon range,
new
huh?
passion, and I'm like just 100% all in. Like, I got checklist printed out now for a series of cards that I'm collecting. We're doing a pretty good job, me and my son. It is fully transitioned to me. I'm the one purchasing all of these, obviously. But
tell him to get a job.
Yeah, you know, start mowing some lawns. But yeah, the action figures have tuned off a little bit, which has been kind of good because you can only get like maybe what, like two action figures for the like
$40. There's never any new ones anyway.
And it is hard to find them now. What packs of cards now? They range anywhere between like $4 and $8. What I'm spending. And so,
you're still spending action figure money. You're just getting more.
I'm getting a lot more in return, yeah. And I'm getting a faster reward than I would be with action figures. If I, you know, decide I want to like sell these off, or if I want to hold on to them for a longer time and just let the value accrue on some of these cards that we've picked up, just to help out, you know, later on in the future, maybe, you know, we've gotten some pretty good ones. And Saturdays and Tuesdays are usually my days on Twitch where I'm watching people like open up packs and talk about cards.
I've been enjoying watching your Instagram.
Have you been on Instagram? I mean, my son now, he is all about getting subs. And he shouts out people in chat that aren't there, but he's pretty good. And it's fun because and I mentioned her before, and it's probably like the third straight podcast I'm going to bring up her name, but One Shot Girl on Twitch. He is a pretty cool community that we're a part of, like where we get to talk to people on there, and everybody's super nice. It's a really wholesome, fun chat to be a part of. And she does all of her streams are family friendly, and so. People are on there talking to each other day in, day out. So it's funny because he shouts out people from her chat in our Instagram videos. So he'll like say random names like Shadow Luna and Kisi Girl. And I'm just like, who are you talking to? But he's giving people shout outs in chat like that are not in chat, obviously. But it's fun. We get a little bit of interaction. We're planning on doing one yesterday, but we went and saw Black Widow. Yesterday was his first time at the movies ever. So you had
a
lot of
fun. Let's jump right in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how that experience went, taking him to the movies.
I went to the movies.
And then we'll talk about the movie itself.
So this is my first time back, and you've been to the movies a few times, right?
We just saw Fate of the... Or whatever.
You went and saw Fast 9. So that was
F9 to delete.
That was your Fast... Or that was your first... It was a fast. It was your return to the movies. So it was your first one back. Oh, okay.
Yep.
I mean, you were probably a little bit delayed on that fact. You know, I think there's a lot of people that probably went to the movies and saw
around Godzilla.
Yeah. And Godzilla, I think, man, that would have been fun to see in theaters at the time. And
I think so too.
I think I was still a little bit apprehensive about going back, and I didn't feel as uncomfortable as I thought I would. I did end up sitting next to somebody, you know, the entire time that I didn't know. But I didn't feel as weirded out. But
well, the theater you went to, those seats are pretty big. So even when you sit next to somebody, you still kind of feel secluded.
Yeah. And
the one that I went to, it's like they're sitting in your lap.
Spoiler alert. The person who sat next to me in the movie had not seen Endgame.
Fucking why? How do you know? Did you ask him?
We'll talk about the last scene of the movie. The post-credit scene is when it sealed the deal.
Me.
So
Oh fuck me.
So we'll talk the experience. So I want to talk about the experience of the movie. It's his first time back. He Ezra, my kid, he's 4 years old, first time in the movies. I really wanted to take him before. But of course when COVID hit, I think he had just turned 3. And there wasn't really any movies I really wanted to take him to at the time. And this summer would have been Jurassic World. Dominion would have been out this summer, and my plan was for him to go see that movie. Like, I was really looking forward to this past summer being able to do that with him. And of course the movie gets delayed, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna have to wait until he sees a movie that he wants to go see, and I'll definitely take him to that if he wants me to take him. And he's at his own decisions now, to where if he decides he wants to do something, he'll tell us, and you know, we try to accommodate that request, you know, if it's not too outrageous. Like going on Instagram and opening up Pokemon cards, it's all his idea, you know. Like, he's the one that loves doing it, because I'm hardly active on Instagram as it is, and if you go and you look at my feed now, I think I'm almost on there like every other day with a new video, which is, it's a lot of fun to do with them. So he wanted to go see the movie. I was kind of apprehensive about taking him to see Black Widow, because I knew it'd be a lot of like guns and, you know, espionage, and I didn't know if he'd be able to follow along. I think he had more fun just with the experience of going. I mean, he walked in and he saw the theater, and he's like, "Oh, cool! Is this where all the movies come to?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this is where the movies come to at first, you know." And so we walk in, and he goes, "Is this where the popcorn comes from?" Like, asking me all these questions. This is nonstop questions the entire time. So it was super fun. And then we get in, and they were already showing previews. It wasn't even that. Like, the movie started at 6:15. I just think they were ready to get the movie going, you know, on the road.
Oh, you had a different experience.
What's funny is I don't even remember what trailers we got. But so we sat down, and I was a little worried that maybe it was going to be too loud for him. But he did great. He had a lot of fun. He loved messing with the chairs, because those chairs move back and forth, and like, he could like literally had his feet like aiming towards the ceiling because he had it reclined so far back. He at one point he could not get out of his chair.
That's funny.
Yeah, so he had a great time. He liked the movie, and he likes Black Widow now, which is pretty cool. And he's able to kind of follow along. He knows, he's not like a diehard MCU kid. But he does pretty good, and he does like some of the movies. He's really into Black Panther, and he really loves, I don't know how he got into it, but he just started watching it one day, and he loves watching that. He loves Spider-Man, so Spider-Man's like his, it's like Black Panther and Spider-Man like his favorites. So it's really exciting for him to be able to grow up watching those movies.
And so
when the credits were rolling too, and this, correct me if I'm wrong, at the beginning of this movie, in Black Widow, I think it's one of the few Marvel movies to do the full credits at the beginning of the movie. I think maybe one of the Captain Americas does do it, but so it was really fun to watch. Like, first we get like, it took like 10 minutes, right, to get to the, like, that.
Yeah, it had like a James Bond-esque kind of opening, you know, and it was really cool too, because they showed a lot during that. And I don't think they went directly into it, did they? I think they had the Ohio scene?
Yeah, they had the Ohio sequence at the very beginning.
And then they went into it, yeah. And I think it was kind of cool because it showed a lot. Like, you got to see, like, the Red Room and, like, the training and stuff like that and the lead-in. Like, they told a lot during that opening credit scene. So I didn't mind how long it was. I thought it was actually really cool.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to get the movie rolling. But overall, like, it was pretty fun to watch, I think. I don't know if we're doing, are we doing full spoilers?
Yeah, full spoilers. And full, I think, spoilers. We'll put that up so everyone knows when you download this episode. Yeah.
And we're on Anchor. Buried the lead a little bit. But I've already done a test feed, so everybody's gonna get this as soon as, so if you're watching us on Twitch, follow us on Anchor. Please follow us on Anchor, whatever you're listening to as well. Download the app, sign in, and you can actually leave us voicemails on there, and no phone number necessary.
We'll play them.
If you leave us a rating on there, or a review, we'll play it. We might play it a little bit before just to make sure it's, you know, not racist, but and not horrible. But I'll even read the bad reviews as long as you keep it, you know, P, like I'm not saying keep it PG, but like keep it like, you know, not as mean towards. You can be mean to me and Jeremy, just don't be racist about it. Or sexist or homophobic or any of those things. You can talk all the shit you want to about, you know, about us and the way we look. But you just make it funny and we'll play it. I
We'll
love
play it
it.
within reason.
If it's within reason, definitely. But hell yeah, leave us messages on there. So definitely sign up for Anchor, and it's completely free. And so is making your own podcast, and so easy to do. You can do it right from your phone. It's not an ad. Well, I guess it is kind of an ad for Anchor because they're giving us free server space.
Right.
Yeah, which is awesome. I love it. It's really easy to use. Opening scene is in Ohio. You see Black Widow, aka Natasha Romanoff. Turns out they're undercover agents. The dad and the mom, quote unquote. Alexei Shelsky. I'm gonna butcher these names. Can you see the names?
Alexei, yeah. Red
Alexei
Guardian.
Shostakov and Melina Vostokov are posing as a normal family in Ohio, along with their surrogate daughters, Natasha and Romanoff and Yelena Belova. When their mission is to steal SHIELD intel is complete, the family. I love that too because there's that chase scene. You get that brief glimpse of the SHIELD logo on the truck. The family escapes to the rendezvous with their
It's
boss.
like 1995, right?
Yeah. How do you say the boss's name? Yeah, it's like 90. Yeah, it is 95. You're right on the dot
Son of
there.
a bitch.
Dreykov.
Dreykov, yeah.
Yeah. Dreykov has Romanoff and Belova put through the Red Room for training. Years pass, and Romanoff defects his shield, believing Dreknov to be dead after bombing his offices, killing his daughter, Antonia, in the process. So that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of the movie. Is flash forward to 2016. Natasha is on the run for violating the Sokovia Accord. So this is directly right after Civil War. She escapes from the U.S. Secretary of State Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. He's not a Thunderbolt yet, but he will be. And flees to a safe house in Norway. Meanwhile, Belova kills a rogue Black Widow, only to come in contact with a substance called the Red Dust that removes her from the Red Room's mind control. She sends an antidote to Romanoff, hoping she'll return to Belova to free the other Black Widows. When Romanoff unknowingly drives off with the antidote, she is then attacked by Taskmaster, who is after the Red Dust. Romanoff manages to evade the Taskmaster and learns that the dust came from Belova. The two reunite in Budapest, or Budapest.
Pest.
But then, Alex, that's an ongoing joke. But then are attacked by Black Widows. Romanoff learns Dreykov is still alive and the Red Room is still active. Romanoff and Belova evade the Widows and Taskmaster before meeting Rick Mason, who supplies them with the helicopter. Rick Mason was also earlier in the movie. He was one of the first people to be like advertised on posters, and nobody knew who he was. For some reason, they just didn't put his character name on those posters, so everybody was like, "Who is this guy?" You know, like, right. What is he gonna be? What is he gonna be in the movie? Is one of the more disappointing reveals. There's two disappointing reveals in this movie. I'm just gonna say one of them being Rick Mason. I still
I
liked
wasn't
it.
So upset about the other.
I still like the movie. I liked the movie. I liked the movie. Rick Mason also gives Natasha a trailer earlier in the movie where she's using it to generate and generator dies, and she comments on how crappy the things are that he gives her. He's like, "I'm doing you a favor. It's for free." Right. Quit complaining. We all have those type of friends. Romanoff and Belova bring Shostakov out of prison or family to learn Dreykov's location. He tells him to speak with Vostokov, who lives on a farm in Russia. Okay, this is, I'm talking about Melina, which is the mom from before. She's doing some pretty cool stuff with pigs. That's all I gotta say. Yeah,
her pig mind control.
Her pig mind control. She even
her,
has
her a maze.
She has them controlled on an app as well, which I think is okay, cool. I want cool. that app. I want that app. Romanoff learns. Okay, okay. Dreykov congratulates Vostok and realizes that Vostokov and Romanoff use face technology. Oh wait. Oh my God. I am so sorry. I jumped so far ahead. This Wikipedia that I'm reading is so bad. So they're there on the farm with Melina, and they're kind of having like family time. You know, Melina tells them they can sit there and make themselves at home. But she had already alerted the Red Room, like, "Hey, Natasha, Red Guardian, and Belova are all here. How about that escape sequence?
Did we even talk about the...
It doesn't even say that. It doesn't even say that in this plot reveal that they break out Red Guardian. The escape sequence
is really cool. Seeing Red Guardian in prison and him boasting over and over about beating Captain America, which everyone knows is bullshit, was great. His escape scene was great. I love seeing him flex and being able to like show how strong he was and that he was actually a super soldier. That stuff was cool. Mm-hmm. And just the whole sequence is cool. And up to this point, we've gotten an absolute metric shit ton of sass from Yelena Belova. And
Florence Pugh is
fucking amazing.
Florence Pugh definitely steals the show in this movie.
Oh, for sure.
she eats up every scene, and I love it.
Plays her role perfect.
Clowning on Natasha, you know, calling her a poser. And she's like, no, you're a poser. You pose. You do fight poses. Like, what did the poses do? Like, her making fun of her in the gas station, you know, when they're picking up supplies, and she does the pose, and she's like, how do you do it? Like this?
Yeah, and she's doing the pose from every movie that Black Widow's been in, where she's landed. The superhero with the arm out and the hair whipped back.
Yeah, so there's that scene when Natasha lands on the bridge in the prison break, and, you know... what's her name? She's Elena is flying the helicopter, trying to keep it steady, and she sees Natasha do the pose. I love it. She's just like such a poser. A poser.
That was a really cool scene, and then the whole avalanche and everything on top of it was really cool too. I liked that scene.
She is so good in this movie, and I think it's a nice when I'm talking about Florence Pugh. She is, and everybody, I think everybody did.
She was great in Fighting With My Family. Her portrayal of Paige.
Yes, as Paige. Really Oh my God, I completely forgot.
She's a good actress.
She is a really good actress, and I really liked her in this movie. I thought she did great. She's going to be, you know, spoiler alert, going flash forward, she's going to be a great Black Widow, successor to the throne. And technically, I mean, all these girls are Black Widows. That's their code name. But, I really think she's going to be a nice one to take over the helm going forward into whatever franchises, whatever movies, whatever shows we're going to be getting with her. She's going to be really exciting to watch. And I just love the character. I love the character that she's portraying. So we get that scene where they're at Melina's. Melina's alerted the Red Room. They come and, you know, they're going to pick them all up. You know, there's nothing they can do about it. So they pick them all up. And in the process, Melina and Black Natasha swap places. They use the face mask technology, and you know, so Natasha's wearing Melina's face and vice versa. And they do that just to, you know, Melina, I don't think that, obviously that wasn't the intention from the get-go, but obviously Melina has some sort of regret about, you know, doing what she did, so she definitely wants to take down the Red Room. And out of the four people, she's the only one that knows where it's at, because I guess she was still training Black Widows to help.
She was still working for him.
Yeah, Dracov. Really, I mean, I love that reveal. I thought that was really cool. Everything up, and then we get the cool reveal that the Red Room is in the sky. Like, it is up
that was
in
cool.
the sky. Yeah.
That was a cool, like, sky station kind of setup. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And then we get the... And so this whole time, you know, Natasha has thought she killed Dracov's daughter. And then we get the reveal that Taskmaster is Dracov's daughter.
So this is your disappointing...
This is reveal. My other... I felt like it was kind of a throwaway because Taskmaster in the comics and any other kind of representation of Taskmaster has a little bit more deeper meaning to it.
Yeah.
I think Taskmaster could have been a cooler villain. I think it could have been played by, and I don't even know the girl who played the daughter, but I felt like it could have, or Antonia, I guess that's who it was. But I feel like Taskmaster as a character could have been definitely, I don't want to say showcased more, you know, have more of a cooler backstory, not just like as a throwaway character, you know, as Antonia, you know, really just kind of like out for revenge, and Dracov kind of just using her to get back at Natasha. she was played by Olga Kurylenko.
So I didn't mind it.
A Ukrainian French actress and model.
I didn't mind it being his daughter. The reveal was there. I think my biggest problem was I felt like it was really telegraphed. As soon as they started focusing on his daughter and they started bringing it up and they're like, you killed his daughter, and they show it happen, I knew immediately. It's like, okay, well, we already had the rumor that Taskmaster was a woman. This is where we're at. It's going to be. And I even leaned to my wife like an hour in. I said, watch, it's going to be his daughter. Sure enough. I mean, it was. I felt it was really, really telegraphed. It wasn't that big of a surprise. That was my only issue with it. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with who it was, really. I mean, it could have been a cool twist, but it just, they hammered in that daughter stuff so much.
I was definitely digging. I mean, what's funny is I said they could have used a better known actress. She's been in a lot. Yeah. and that's my fault that I said that. I mean, yeah. I was like, she definitely looks like she was in a James Bond movie.
This fucking nobody.
Yeah, she definitely looks like she looks like, and once I clicked on her name, I'm like, oh my God, she's been in so much. She's been in a James Bond movie. She was in Quantum of Solace. She was in Oblivion. She's a great character in Oblivion. She has done a lot of roles.
What a dick.
I know. I'm so bad. You know, she's nearly unrecognizable because of what they.
Well, she's so scarred up.
She's scarred up. But I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Oblivion. It's that Tom Cruise science fiction film.
I haven't. No.
Really good. I really like that movie. She's in that one. Where was I at? So we get the reveal that it's her, and she walks out, and Natasha's thinking like that was like your only way you're protecting yourself. And which was all a ploy to get Taskmaster to leave anyway, because she was trying to shoot him and, you know, trying to shoot Dracov in the face and, you know, do all this stuff, which is kind of like a lot of like working around. I guess she was just trying to get Dracov to punch her in the face because it's revealed that she can't physically harm him because of the pheromone in training that she can't hurt him if he's around, but I guess she can shoot him away from a distance. So she could have like backed up like 30 feet and just shot him in the face, right?
Yeah, you would think. Well, I guess,
unless they were pumping in his pheromones like through the vents, like, and you just can't do it if you're inside the red room at all, right?
I like her setup though. I thought it was really smart.
I mean, it makes sense. That's why they were able to do the bomb. Like the bomb makes sense because she's from far away, doesn't even see him. But it's just like, if that's the case, then I'll just walk 10. Like, how close do you have to be to smell somebody's pheromones?
Right, but I mean, it was a small room. She'd have to leave the room, is what I would think.
No, there was a big room.
Yeah, but you would still smell those pheromones, I would think. You know what I mean? It's not like the bomb where she could draw down on him from like 30 yards.
I just got thinking to myself, just back up 20 feet and just shoot him.
Nah, you wouldn't have the fight.
Yeah.
I didn't mind all that. I thought that
was all right. So she tries to get him to break her nose, but she doesn't. And she learns about that.
Because he's too weak.
Yeah, he can't punch her. He can't punch her hard enough. Melina tells her all this in flashbacks, you know, to right before they showed up and took them all. You see them switch. You see her telling, like, "Hey, you got to break your nose so you don't smell his pheromones," which we get a cool, you know, like her smashing her head on the freaking desk,
headbutting the shit out of the desk.
Oh my gosh! I'm just like okay. Oh. I'm like, oof. All right. This is what we're doing. Breaks her nose. She can't smell him, and she beats the crap out of him. Good scenes, and she's about to take him out, right? And then the Black Widows come in. So yeah, they shoot something or throw something. Don't they like throw a knife in her shoulder? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Which is so, a cool scene watching her have the shit beat out of her.
Yeah. She's just playing like 20.
Like showing her vulnerable, you know? Because she's always been such a badass. Like seeing her vulnerable, I thought was really good. And then, you know, Yelena coming to the rescue on that, I thought was great. Overall, I liked the movie a lot. It was good, not great, I guess is the best way to put it. But it did a good job at what it set out to do. I do see the criticism that they had with Marvel having the same cookie cutter, like, hey, we're overcoming this dude who's oppressing women.
I think the story kind of needed it, that's the story though.
Yeah,
like that was it wasn't
loyal to the comic book, and you can't fault that comic book writer,
and it was loyal to the storyline that they had introduced all those years ago, you know, especially when you go back into the second Avengers movie. And you get the flashback of Black Widow in, you know, the training in the red room, and she's, you know, training with these other girls, and you get the scene of her getting her her reproductive organs removed, you know, which we get a really funny scene, you know, earlier in the movie when they rescue Red Guardian, and he makes the comment to Yelena, like, oh, or it's that time of the, is that your time of the month? And she's like,
I don't get my period. She keeps like in detail. She's like, go in. They pull them out. They go in, they gather everything up, and rip it out. Yeah. And like she's just emphasizing the shit out of it to make him so uncomfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's intentionally trying to make him uncomfortable since he was so insensitive. Well,
and
he
sent them there. Like he's the one that told them, like, hey, you know, you guys are going to the Red Room. This is what's going to happen. You're supposed to go there. Yeah, it was just really good. Really good fight scenes. Really good, like, spy action. I love the chase scene. Towards the beginning of the movie with that giant, like,
tank,
SWAT tank, you know, just murdering everything in its path. Just like, I love, like, there are some pretty good stunts, and I don't know if they were actually physical stunts or like CGI stunts with the motorcycles and whatnot, but you see like that motorcycle, like, literally just like use another car as a ramp, you know, like not even second guessing it. Just really good stuff. I love the action in this movie. Probably some of the best action sequences, I think.
Since Falcon, or Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Whatever. Because we get a lot of great hand-to-hand combat.
Captain America, like, 2.
Like, nobody has, other than Red Guardian and Taskmaster, like, nobody really has superpowers. I mean, well, Natasha, like, falls off that building and, like, smacks things on the way in and, like, lands on her feet somehow.
Yeah.
But, if for the most part, like, from a movie more grounded, I want to see, you know, I'm using it loosely, but more grounded.
It's grounded for Marvel.
Yeah, it's as grounded in reality as it could be for Marvel. It's pretty really good, and I loved all the hand to hand combat, like so good. Like some of the fight scenes to me were just like,
yeah, it
some
was
of the best ones.
It was a good action movie. It was a really really good action movie. I didn't really have very many. I don't even think I had any gripes with it, and like I walked away going like, yeah, it's all right. And then the more like I marinated on it, it's like I really want to watch this movie
again. I think it definitely is one of those movies where you can go back and you can watch a lot of the fight scenes and a lot of the action sequences and catch a lot like that you might have missed, just because there's a lot going on. But to me, I mean, I definitely think it did surpass my expectations.
Yeah,
I was going into solo expectations, just thinking like, okay, we're gonna get a Black Widow movie. You know, Scarlett Johansson is hit or miss a lot of the times.
I think a lot of that came from our weight, too. Like, any excitement that we had for this movie just got pushed. The more this got pushed back, like, the less excited I got for it.
Yeah, I was trying to tone it down because I was just like, it's definitely my first time back to the movies. It's our first Marvel movie in over 2 years. We've definitely gotten some content since then. But, you know, we've gotten, what, 3 shows since the last Marvel movie. But, which was what, Spider-Man Far From Home, I think it was the last Marvel movie out in theaters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it definitely exceeded my expectations. I really liked it. We see,
it's been 2 years.
Yeah. Elena, she blows up the helicopter that Dracoff is in. So which was really another cool scene right after, is where the Red Room is like just falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
You know?
Just falling apart.
And it's just kind of like,
that was some cool shit.
How did they get out of this? Oh, you know what scene I loved a lot? And I'm sorry if you guys haven't watched this. And hopefully, if you haven't watched this movie, you're not listening to this part of the show. We're probably going to do like a warning at the beginning of the show.
A disclaimer.
We're
going
to record a disclaimer, like, do not listen to this podcast until you see Black Widow. But I love the part where Alexei is telling, well, we have plenty of gas to get there. And then just the helicopter
next falls. Scene, just, boom, falls out of the sky. I fucking cackle.
One of the worst.
Was so good.
There is some good comedic timing in this movie. Like,
yeah, the comedy, you know, in this wasn't good.
Not overly comedic. It didn't have to be, and it wasn't.
That was Yelena's job. Yeah. She was dealing with what she was her situation with comedy, like with humor, and she did a great job of it. Florence Pugh was amazing in this.
Yeah, I can't commend her performance enough. Like, so good in this movie. She definitely, like we said, you know, 100% sold the show. This almost became her movie. I think, you know, and a lot of, I think that was done
on purpose.
A lot
of this movie was passing the torch.
It's done on purpose. Yeah, exactly. Because they're like, hey, we're getting ready to put her in your face. So get ready. And I love I love the scene in the subway. I love the scene in the subway where like they go up and they're hiding. And it's supposedly like the same spot where her and Clint were hiding, which is really good. You can see like their games that they played up to 14
I love that there was, this is what I wanted, is a lot of explanation about Budapest and getting like kind of what happened to them there and knowing. I mean, what like, they
yeah,
went through. I thought that was really good.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. Yeah, because we get that joke, what, in which Avengers is that? That we get
first.
That joke? It's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. Let's see. Okay, so they get rid of the Red Room. Taskmaster is about to, I think, punch Black Widow when they finally make it to the ground, and they shoot that vial, that red dust, which takes away the mind control, and Taskmaster is then freed. So it was a really good movie. I liked it a lot. And we get one... Well, technically, it's two post-credit scenes,
but depends.
We get the one that, like, it cuts, and then it sets... You get a flash forward 2 weeks, and she's leaving to go free the detained Avengers that are also left on the raft. So I'm wondering, in that case, who did Cap leave on the raft? Think she was leaving to help Cap to... Because remember, at the end of Civil War... He shows up on the raft.
I think she's leaving to go help him on the raft. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, they mention that Cap is on the run. Mm-hmm. So I think she links up with Cap. They go to the raft in the ship that they have, in the jet that she's flying off in. And they get Lang, Hawkeye, and who is the other? I know there's three people on the raft.
Well, Lang and Hawkeye are on house arrest. You would think...
You don't remember at the end of Civil War, there's the scene where they're in the raft... And Captain America walks up. That's like the very last scene of Civil War.
He's breaking out Falcon, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. But that's who they're after then. Is they're after whoever he saved at the end of Civil War. So this happens from the end of Civil War to that scene is the way I would interpret it.
Well, I still think, I mean, in that case too. Oh, I'm losing my camera for whatever reason.
I heard that. And you're frozen.
I'm frozen now. Oh, no. Let me switch my camera around.
EOS webcam utility.
Oh, no. What was I talking about? Because I
PCS
feel like
PCS load letter? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, I feel like in both Hawkeye... Or not Hawkeye, but at the beginning of Endgame, you get that scene where... Isn't he wearing an inklet?
He is on house arrest, yes.
Yeah.
And Hawkeye, and so is Lang. I believe, is too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no.
So would you think that they stayed because they both have family?
I don't know. Maybe not. It depends.
My battery died.
I'm not entirely sure where that went, but I know that they went and they were rescued.
There are definitely some that they get out, you know, because that's why we don't see.
One of them's Wanda, right? I can't remember. Wanda. I want to see the end.
We get Wanda. We get Wanda. She's one of the ones that they free out because she's in hiding. And nobody knows where she's at, but she's supposed to be keeping. Remember, we also get that scene too, where like they're supposed to be checking in with Natasha, and they're not checking in with her. But I'm thinking Hawkeye and
Sam Wilson, Wanda Maximoff, Clint Barton, and Scott Lang were the ones that were captured by Ross on the raft.
There we go. Sorry.
So
about that.
They're the ones that I don't know if Cap got them all out, and even if they got out, I mean it's. I still would believe that they'd be able to try to strike some sort of deal or something anyway. Especially because...
Which eventually they do.
Yeah. The whole stuff was set up, like, with his family and everything. They may not even... I would like to believe that Ross didn't even know about Hawkeye's family. Because remember, that was all secret and set up for him by Fury. Yeah. So his whole existence on that farm was secluded from anybody.
And I know this is more so a Black Widow movie and story origin kind of, but I was really surprised at the lack of Nick Fury in this movie.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. I expected, if anything, maybe some Iron Man, because we had heard rumors that maybe he was in this. But I'm kind of glad they let her stand on her own and pass the torch directly from her to Yelena. I thought that was... It did her character some justice. Matt's blurry or I'm drunk.
I am blurry. There we go. Sorry about that.
But, I thought it was good. Let's talk that post-credit scene.
Post-credit scene. So this is where I found out.
I want to hear this.
That's a guy next to me. I hadn't seen Endgame. So the post-credit scene, it's set after Natasha's death, obviously. There's a tombstone set up for her with her name on it. You know, it has the Black Widow logo on there. It's just more of a memorial than anything. Belova, Yelena is walking up to it.
She's fixing it.
Yeah, she's taking care of it. And then, so you see the name reveal, Natasha Romanoff. And the guy next to me is just like, oh my God.
What?
Oh my God, what? What happened? And I just like looked at him and like, have you not seen Endgame? And that was it. So I asked him, like, have you not seen Endgame? And he's like, no. I'm like, oh my God, go watch Endgame.
Why?
I go, go watch Endgame, dude. Oh my God. He's an older guy. Older guy. You know, white hair, long beard. just shocked. Just shocked that Natasha was dead. And so I told my brother, who happened to watch the movie too, he went with us as well, and I was like, yeah, I told him my experience, you know. He goes, oh my God, he was sitting on the opposite side, and he goes, oh my God, somebody's daughter had the exact same reaction, sitting next to him, just like, did the government kill her? Like, God, oh my bless. God. So we get to, you know, obviously she's dead. Yelena's fixing the memorial. And then we get, hey, guess who comes back is Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Get good old Elaine. She makes a nice special guest appearance here.
She's working good in her character. She is working this.
I love that character. And so, you know, Elena's obviously already working with her. She's like,
hey, it's got to be Thunderbolts, right?
Yeah, she's like, you shouldn't be bothering me. I'm on holiday. Don't talk to me. And she's like, I got your next assignment. And somehow she goes, it's the person who's responsible for Natasha's death. And how would Yelena know who is or who isn't responsible? And she's like, here's your target. And it's Clint Barton. Endgame, Clint Barton with the crappy haircut.
I thought it was really cool, though, to get, because this is the first time they've had the opportunity to have one of their movie end credit scenes lead into a series.
A show, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And this is uncharted territory. I thought that was really, really cool. Because, I mean, we haven't had that opportunity. All these series came out while we were in quarantine. So now we're at a spot where while these movies are coming out, they could lead into whatever the hell is next.
Yeah,
so I thought that was great.
I love that. Yeah.
And I already knew that Florence Pugh was in Hawkeye. So this is a cool way to lead her into that. And it shows me more and more, like, if she's got US agent working, or Valentina has US agent working for her. And then now she's got Black Widow, or this Black Widow, working with her. She's definitely assembling probably some sort of, like, different Avengers or the Thunderbolts. I would guess it's the Thunderbolts is where we're headed.
Yeah, I'm digging it. Like, I think it's cool because it's like she's pulling the strings, you know. Obviously, yeah. You know, what has Clint done to wrong her, you know? But there's something, you know, that she has against
political.
Him or that he's done. So yeah, definitely
there's something in there with her group versus him.
Maybe, and she was a member,
we'll see more of that,
of the Jeremy Renner app, and she had paid the membership, and then he deleted the app.
Wow,
the
app store.
That's where I'm putting.
That's a good theory. It's a good theory.
Let's talk Loki. How did you know it? Could you see it in the reflection of my glasses?
It was green today. So, have you heard this theory about the Infinity Stones and Loki?
No.
The episodes. So every episode has had a tint to it. Like, there's been a prominent color to every single episode. This last episode was green, and they've gone through, and there's six episodes, six Infinity Stones. They've gone through every prominent color or every color of the Infinity Stones except for blue. And so there's supposed to be something blue possibly around this next episode,
which is the last episode.
A lot of people are running with thinking, well, maybe it's Kang because he's blue, but, or his face anyway is like bluish purple. Yeah. But, I don't know that that's anything other than just an aesthetic choice, and that they may be going for that. Like, hey, we have six episodes. Let's do one of these for each Infinity Stone. Mm-hmm. I think it would be cool. Like the director, you know, I don't think it's anything like for us to read into and like assume stuff, but who knows? You got a rundown for this episode?
I got a rundown. Yeah. Going right back to Wikipedia. Hopefully it's a little bit better than the Black Widow one. This episode was called episode 5 is Journey into Mystery. It was written by Kate Herron,
which is first Easter egg, because that's Journey into Mystery was a comic that Loki he debuted in before Marvel was even Marvel.
And swap that. It was directed by Kate Herron. Renslayer tells Sylvie Loki that... Oh, sorry. Renslayer tells Sylvie supposed to be a comma there. Loki was teleported to the void, a dimension at the end of time where everything the TVA prunes is dumped into and from which nothing has returned. They also deduce that the TVA's creator is hiding in the timeline beyond the void. TVA mascot Ms. Minutes stalls for time. how poetic, right? Stalls for time until the TVA troops surround Sylvie, who then prunes herself and reunites with Mobius. And I was so happy to see Mobius back.
Hell yeah.
After
did you like his Pizza Planet mobile?
I love the car. After interrogating B-15, Renslayer attempts to reach the TVA's creator. Meanwhile, the other Loki variants tell Loki that a massive cloud-like creature called Eliath hunts and kills any life in the void. Boastful Loki betrays... I thought that was worthy Loki. I think I mentioned that last week. It's boastful Loki. Betrays the other Lokis for a second Loki group, which itself devolves into fighting. Classic
Loki. That's where helps. we see Vote Loki.
We get the vote for Loki. And what's funny is we didn't know, but... all those other people around him are Lokis.
Was one that we even saw in the projections when they were showing ones that they had pruned already. Yes. One of which, he was a taller one behind them, but he was one in those projections as well.
Yeah. Classic Loki helps Alligator Loki, Kid Loki, and Loki.
I'm sorry, who?
Classic Loki.
No.
That's not really Alligator Loki, Kid Loki, and Loki.
Are we not going to call Alligator Loki by his goddamn name?
What's his name again?
Croaky. That's the name that the internet has been giving it.
Well, alligator and crocodile are two different creatures. I'm sorry to let the internet down.
I know.
They eventually meet up with Mobius and Sylvie. After Mobius returns, how much did you love alligator Loki or Croaky biting off the hand of Hope for Loki?
Fuck, it was so good. That whole fight scene where they all just started attacking each other and doing what Lokis do, it was such good shit. I absolutely loved the second he jumped, and then he didn't get his arm back at all. It just snapped off, and he's sitting there and it's spraying blood everywhere. This was my favorite episode by far.
I was not expecting that, and I loved it. Best episode yet.
Yeah.
A lot going on, a lot of action, a lot of story.
A lot of Easter eggs.
Great. A lot of Easter eggs. After Mobius returns to the TVA using a tin pad style previously that Sylvie stole, she attempts to enchant Eliath but fails in two until classic Loki, played by Richard E. Grant, distracts it with an illusion of
Asgard. How great was he?
Asgard? Here we go.
Around Matt?
Here we go. Sacrificing himself in the process. Together, Loki and Sylvie successfully enchant Eliath, find the citadel beyond the void, and walk towards it. And that's the end of episode 5. Really good, loaded with tons of stuff. Such a good episode. I loved it. It was good.
Let's talk about some of these Easter eggs.
A fun week, man. A fun week from Marvel. You got all the Easter eggs.
I've got some. Yeah. If you caught when they first come into the void, there's Stark Tower off to the right of your screen, and it's fallen and destroyed. Except it doesn't say Stark on it. It says Kang. Q-E-N-G, which is Kang Enterprises, which in the comics was ran by Kang the Conqueror, and it was purchased. They purchased Stark Industries in the comics. I caught this without any list or anything. I saw it, and I would imagine a lot of people did too, because it's absolutely giant. Yellow Jacket's helmet is just laying there, super huge. Did you see this?
Yeah. Who was that? There was that scene, I'm sorry, you keep going.
Well,
sorry.
For this one, what stands out to me is I said last week that I felt like the stuff that they were using to prune the people and to cleanse the timelines looked a lot like quantum energy and stuff from the quantum realm and the containers that they were using to harness quantum energy. And that I thought that maybe the TVA was inside the quantum realm because of the way that time operates there is very similar to the way time operates in the quantum realm. We know that Yellowjacket disappeared with quantum energy. So this is where he ended up.
Right? So yeah. That's him in the jar.
That's not him in the jar. I will get to that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
All right, that's not him in the jar, but I would think that he made it here. And he, at some point, probably went giant to fight Eliath, is what I would think. Now, a lot of that is me assuming, but that's a giant-ass helmet. And we know that the Pym particle can make you giant as well. So the Thanos copter from the comics was there.
Yes.
And that's Thanos legit had a yellow copter like that with his name on it. So I thought that was a really, really cool.
So there's a universe where that exists, within this story. Yeah.
We got to see Mjolnir in the dirt when they went underground. And then now what you're talking about in the jar, that is actually Frog Thor. in the jar.
Okay, all right.
And the label on the jar that he's in is T365. Frog Thor first showed up. And this isn't... So there's Throg, which was Thor Frog. Mm-hmm. Or there's Thor the Frog of Lightning. This is Thor the Frog of Lightning that we see in here. Because it's T365 on his jar. Thor number 365 is where he first debuted. So that's what that reference is.
Oh, okay.
But what's really cool and really interesting about this is when he's jumping up against the glass and he's banging off of it, you can hear him grunt. He goes, and then hits the glass.
Yeah.
If you go back to the first Avengers movie, they had that big glass container that they captured Hulk, or they wanted to capture Hulk in as a safeguard. Mm-hmm. Then Loki tricks Thor and gets Thor locked inside there, and they drop him. When Thor's falling, or he's going after Loki, I think, he's banging up against that glass and going, and hitting the glass. They sampled Chris Hemsworth's audio from that and then turned up the pitch so it's the frog. So Chris Hemsworth technically has...
That is awesome. A voice credit.
Yeah, he's got a voice credit for that. did you see them drinking Roxy wine out of a box from Roxxon? I thought that was kind of cool
too. Roxxon wine, yeah.
I did love hearing Boastful Loki talk about collecting all the Infinity Stones and defeating Captain America and Iron Man and them just kind of calling him out on his bullshit.
Yeah.
This is a really cool Easter egg too. Inside the, which I didn't notice. Did you catch that the campfire that they had in the bowling alley was bowling pins?
No.
There was a bunch of burned bowling pins sitting in between them. In the bowling alley, there's a Polybius arcade machine. And the Polybius arcade machines were said to be, they showed up in Stranger Things, and they were an urban legend for a long time. And it was said that these arcade machines were put out in arcades and that they could mind control people. And there's no record of them ever existing, but people swear that they've played one. And people swear that they've seen men in black suits come take these arcade machines out of arcades. So it's an urban legend, and it's a mystery, and it shows up in the void. So
if we ever want to talk men in black stuff, I'm all for it.
I didn't even catch this. young Loki is drinking Ecto Cooler.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't catch that either.
That is cool.
Let's see.
Your son made a cool meme, and I think you should share it on GoFo's Instagram about what caused Kid Loki's Nexus event. So I want you to definitely share that.
So here's one that I had to pull up, because this is the whole reason I pulled up this article. There's a lot that I caught too. You can catch the Dark Aster, which is Ronan's ship, is crashed in the void behind them. There's also a helicarrier. There's a and then one of the arcs or the whales from Loki and Thanos' army from New York, that the big ones that were flying through, one of those is in there as well. But this one was really cool because I like that they're using kind of real life stuff like the Polybius. They also are using the USS Eldridge is crashed. That's the ship that they bring in and just starts attacking the Elias. Yes. The USS Eldridge was part of the Philadelphia experiment, and they had said that it was able to go invisible. It disappeared. There was an urban legend that the crew members were fused with the hull that during the experiment, and they were just like became one with the metal. So it has this urban legend kind of Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, that's cool.
Story. So they bring that in there since they were saying it disappeared, that here it is. Same thing with the UFO. There was a big ass UFO that crashed that was there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, Ronan's ship. The Living Tribunal. The heads of the Living Tribunal are laying there in front of the Dark Aster. Or not the Dark Aster, but the... God damn it. What's the cloud's name? What do they call the cloud? How come I'm not remembering it?
Elias.
Thank you. So the biggest thing to take out of this is the rumor... So if you watch Endgame... is it Endgame? Yeah, when Loki dies in... Endgame or Infinity War. When Loki dies in Infinity War, he tries to stab Thanos with his left hand. And if you watch through any of the movies, Loki is right-handed. So a lot of people have theorized, even before the series came out, that that was a projection of Loki that tried to stab Thanos. And then as he's talking to Old Man Loki specifically says that he conjured a projection so realistic that he tried to kill Thanos. And when Thanos killed the projection, he believed that he had actually killed Loki because it was so realistic and authentic. So we're already planting those seeds. Then if you go back and watch Ragnarok, we know going into this that Loki doesn't have any sort of enchantment powers, correct? because he wanted to know how she did it. So you end up finding out, if you go back and watch Ragnarok right now, that he reaches up and he grabs onto Valkyrie's head and enchants her and shows her the end of the Valkyries and what had happened on Asgard to remind her of herself. He didn't have that power.
He didn't know that.
So so what I'm thinking, this Loki is the Loki from Infinity War.
Yeah.
That he's gone back and he fixes things where he can go back in time and he takes the place and he's learned things. You know what I mean? This shows why Loki has had somewhat of a character arc as we've moved forward in the MCU. Like he's not quite as selfish as you've seen. And I think he goes back and plays the role to a degree and he saves himself. And this is how we get Loki, the second season of Loki, is that'll take place after Infinity War and Endgame. After we find out that he survived and Thanos didn't kill him. Thanos killed the projection.
Yeah.
Because we know that she unlocks enchantment in him. She's like, dude, you can do this. We're the same person. If I can do it, you can do it. And he figures out he can, and he helps her enchant Eliath. Who do you think the villain is? Who do you think is inside that palace?
I don't even want to say that it's Kang, just because like I'm perfectly happy going into it like not expecting anybody. You know,
I think it's
because we've gone so off the rails in a lot of our predictions. You know, and not to be like disappointed like with WandaVision, because WandaVision was such a good show, but I would hate to like hype myself up, you know, the same way that we did for WandaVision.
Oh, for sure. I think it's Loki. I don't think it's Kang the Conqueror. Mm-hmm. I think we might get some sort of tease for Kang, but I think it's actually Loki. I think that Loki, this is a Loki that never had his redemption. This is the original Loki that had he not been snatched out of the first Avengers movie when he grabs the Tesseract. I think that this is his trajectory, where he would have gone to. And I think this Loki defeats him and then goes back and takes that Loki's place.
Gotcha.
And I think that's how we get to where Loki is, where he's at, where he's such a fan favorite and he's tried to help everybody and he has the redemption moments with Thor. I know it's a lot and it's kind of out there, but how else does it explain? I mean, they made a point to talk about the projection theory in this episode. They hammered it home in a monologue, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also explaining how Loki doesn't have these enchantment powers, but he clearly did in Ragnarok. So there's got to be something going on where we get Loki back in the MCU, and this is how it happens.
He is definitely showing back up.
Either way, I'm super excited to find out. Even if I'm wrong, I'm super excited for this next episode. Like, it is this one. I love the setup, like the slow burn, and then when we get to this, them just putting their foot down on the pedal. Like,
yeah.
This was such a great episode. Sylvie was amazing. Every other Loki, all the Lokis that showed back up in this were great. They all played their role perfect. There's a young Loki with Alligator Loki Funko Pop that was just released, and straight up Alligator Loki Funko Pop that was announced.
Yeah.
I'm out of the Funko game. I've gone on to action figures for photography purposes and not Funkos anymore, but God, I might need those.
Yeah, man.
I might need those. They're especially awesome. The Vote for Loki one. I still really like that one. I'm still hoping for an action figure of that Vote for Loki. Just him in the helmet with the suit, I think, is a really cool
visual. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I want to see what happens with Mobius going back to the TVA. So,
yeah, and him saying that he's going to take it down.
He's going to burn it down. He literally said, I'm going to burn it to the ground.
Burn it to the ground. Wow.
There's a lot of reveals. It's going to be great when he has to come face-to-face with Lightning McQueen.
There's a lot. I want him to, face-to-face with the car.
Hey.
Of his voice.
And I had forgotten until yesterday, Owen Wilson was a NIMI alum.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
I don't know what.
Completely true.
We were watching TikToks and they were showing, making fun of him, like in his alternate self, and showing like him try to come face to face with Lightning McQueen and shit. And I was like, this dude went to NIMI. So I went and Googled it. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Right. And then there was pictures of him in his yearbook in his NIMI uniform, which is a military school here in Roswell. Matt worked at.
I worked there for 2 years.
I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He went to NIMI. That's
I forgot. Cool. Like, yeah, there's a building called Luna Hall And I think there is a little bit of like there is,
that the haunted one? Have,
yeah, well, nearly every building in that campus is haunted. But they have like a who's who kind of like famous people that have gotten there. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. A couple famous people have gone to that military
school. Roger Staubach of the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Jaden, not Jaden, Jessica James, former adult actress.
Hell yeah.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. She's no longer with us. There's quite a few people that have gone to NIMI and graduated from there. But really good episode. Really looking forward to what happens in the next one. And super awesome. And that's not the last Marvel thing we had to talk about. We got the trailer for What If. We had a huge trailer reveal for What If.
It was so good. I didn't connect this, and my wife wondered what it was, and now I see it. So did you catch all the lunch trays?
No.
There was a ton of lunch trays in Loki when they were in the void. Uh-huh. Like, just laying around, like, piles and piles of them, and then one or two in the dirt. And my wife was like, what's with the lunch trays? I didn't catch it either. They're trays from the TVA cafeteria. You can see the exact same tray when Mobius is eating his lunch with Loki. It's the exact same tray. So I wonder if these are people that if something had happened where they purged the TVA, or if these are people mm-hmm. that were pruned and sent back, because like the same thing that happened with Owen Wilson with Mobius, if they just asked too many questions and got sent back. But there's a fuck ton of, or if this is just where they're dumping their trash.
It could be just
where they're dumping their trash. Which would be funny as hell too. That goes back to the Harry Potter bathroom thing where they just shit on the floor and wave a wand.
Poop. Yeah.
I gotta tell my wife's friend about that because we've been talking a lot of Harry Potter. We
maybe they don't have bathrooms either in the TVA.
Right.
They just prune it all.
I'm in. Ew, that's gross. I'm in planning mode for two different fucking theme parks, and one of which is Harry Potter in Universal. So I am about to go into a binge mode, rewatching everything Harry Potter. So
you can do it on Peacock.
Yeah, do it on Peacock. I already own them all too. God damn it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
It's like my wife was like jazzed. She's like, look, all the Twilight movies are coming to Netflix. I'm like, we fucking own them all because I had to buy them all to watch them for this fucking podcast.
We got them all. I already had them.
I had them all but one, I think. For whatever reason, we didn't have one of them, or we couldn't find one of them.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, What If trailer looks cool as hell.
The What If trailer looks awesome. And I rewatched it again before.
Yeah, so did I.
The show. Just to like be like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. We got cool stuff coming up, and I kind of feel like it's maybe like does play into the multiverse, you know, like with Doctor Strange, and this leads up to his movie.
Maybe
so. That would be cool. I'm looking for it because it feels like it's centralized around a lot of Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, it so, seems like he's the main character in this.
So we'll see. I mean, that show comes out in less than a month, or actually in just a month's time on August 11th, I believe. Another Wednesday. I think that's another Wednesday show premiere.
Awesome.
So we'll see when that comes out. So other than everything we watched this week, did you watch anything else at all?
I did not. I did see the trailer for The Witcher Season 2. Did
you catch that? Season 2 teaser trailer for The Witcher looks amazing.
I haven't got to watch it yet, but there is a teaser trailer for the Witcher animated series that's coming in Netflix.
I had put out a little bit of a teaser episode earlier in the week saying that we would watch it tomorrow. War. Obviously, that did not happen. Otherwise, we'd be talking about it, and the show would probably last another 20 minutes. But
we got a lot on our plate. Not going
to be about the Tomorrow War. Yeah, they had a lot going on, and I was really excited to be back at the movies. You know,
yeah, it was fun.
I feel like going forward, I'm going to be able to enjoy myself a little bit.
Did you have any anxiety going for your first time back?
Yes.
So did I.
Yes, yeah. Obviously.
Like a lot. I was super anxious. I was in a bad mood.
Yeah, I was not sweating it, but kind of like. I haven't had a panic attack in a long time.
It was just being around all those people and like having people next to you and stuff. I didn't know what to think of it. I have social anxiety as it is.
Yeah. I was afraid I was going to have a panic attack at some point. And this is before I even went to the movies. I was more nervous before I went than when I was actually there. And I think what really eased my mind a lot was like, one, I'm there with my son, my brother-in-law, and my brother and my other brother-in-law.
You were there with a support group.
I was there with a good amount of family, you know, that would have been able to, like, you know, help calm me down, which is really nice. And ended up running into a coworker there who was watching the movie in the same theater as me, so that was nice. It was really cool. I'm not going to go and watch every movie that comes out just because I don't want to waste my money.
I don't do that anyway. It's got to be something that I really want to see.
It's got to be good, and this was nice to go back and watch a good movie in a theater. And hear the loudness, see the giant thing on the screen. So, and I know you went and saw it at Epic or Apex or whatever it's called. And I noticed right away from the picture that you took, you know, it's like, oh, you did not go to Galaxy.
I hated it. My wife's I want to go because they have the better snacks. And she's not wrong. They do have the better snacks.
They do have better snacks.
But yeah. I don't give a shit about the snacks. I want the better screen. And I want Dolby Atmos. And I want to be able to sit up where people's fucking heads aren't in my way.
If it's me, I'm the same way. I'm more into the visual and the sound.
Yep.
You know. I want that. I don't go to the movies to eat food. I go to the movies to watch a movie.
Yeah.
And hang out, you know, with my friends.
And I told her, I was like, I'll fucking stop there and buy a pretzel and fucking sneak it in somehow. Empty out your purse and we'll put it in the bottom of it.
Oh, man, we need a good pretzel place in this town.
They have pretzels at this theater, goddammit. That's why she wanted to go.
I know. I'm just saying, like, a better pretzel.
We can get it at Auntie Anne's or something. Just go get them.
That'd be great, yeah. I don't know anybody who sells a
pretzel. I've taken McDonald's into the
Target.
Theater.
Target used to have pretzels, but then they don't have the food court anymore.
I know.
I'm like, bring it back. Quit using it for your to-go orders. Just bring the food.
That was actually smart usage of that. I'll give them credit.
That they use it for all the Target curbside pickup orders now.
I mean, that's.
I love the standing of carts that they use there. It almost feels kind of like it's a quarantine zone too. At some point, because they have it like blocked off and masked off. It's just like, is there people back there?
What is happening back here?
Are they on gurneys? Is this like Cloverfield? To be able to go to the movies, it does feel like things are coming for us a little bit back to normal, which is nice. It's definitely nice to be able to do that again. So, Jeremy's using Audacity, and there was a report earlier in the week that it's literally like right after we recorded our last show that Audacity is spyware, and it was sharing his information. People who use Audacity, like sharing your location and whatever. Apparently, that's just a misunderstanding in the terms of like a policy, since Audacity got bought out about a year ago. So supposedly they're going to release an update to the privacy policy that takes away all of that wording that's like sort of like,
I think I'm safe. I haven't updated.
We're using
it. I haven't updated in a really long time.
I think you're safe no matter what. I think everybody here, think about the amount of people who use Audacity. It is millions. Not everybody uses GarageBand. Not everybody uses like a third-party Windows software to record. The majority of the world does use Audacity. So that's, I think everybody's fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
When it comes to that, yeah. Hey, LeBron James is going to be in Fortnite. What do you think about that? Jeremy took off his headphones.
Fucking
lie. Now, I'm just wondering if this is going to be Space Jam LeBron or if this is going to be LeBron. Either way, we're going to get LeBron James in Fortnite. And we also got the reveal of the new Nintendo Switch, the updated model.
Ooh.
No bump in specs. No bump in hardware specs.
All it's an OLED screen.
We got a bigger screen. It's 7 inches and it's an OLED screen. So I guess we're jumping from, 5 inches to 7.5?
Fuck off.
So it's just going to make your arms more tired.
I won't buy it.
Yeah. I think if you don't have a Switch, buy it.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll get the 1080p
wait and see. When it comes out. Wait and see. Because with a bigger screen and running OLED now, who knows what that's going to fucking do to your battery. So wait and see. I'd find out specs on how it's running with people's batteries and then go from there.
I figure it's going to have a bigger battery regardless. It has support for LAN. If you're playing it docked, you have your LAN cable finally, which I was surprised I never had it from the game. Yeah, which is insane, especially when you're playing online. And I think when they released the Switch, they didn't figure they're going to be doing so many probably like massive multiplayer online games. And it kind of, has turned into that for them, like with Rocket League and Fortnite and whatever other games you want to play online, like Battle Royale style. There you go. So yeah, new Switch. Not impressed by it, but I don't have a personal Switch. My son has one. Would I get this one? Maybe.
Save your money. Maybe buy the same one your son has is what I would do.
I would probably get one that's handheld so I could play White Waifu Uncovered like in a room by myself.
Hell yeah. I want to play Doki Doki.
So I did not know this. And it's funny because I see this all the time. It's usually on like a lot of those games are on sale in the Nintendo eShop. But Waifu Uncovered, you know what their studio is called?
No.
One Hand Studio.
Yes. I love it.
And there's a specific game mode on that one where you can play with one hand.
Shut the fuck up.
I kid you not. It's advertised in the game. You can watch the game trailer. That's a good shit. Oh, just like, I never watched the trailer. I finally watched it today, and I was like, that is hilarious. Not an ad for Waifu Uncovered. But if you want to play, yes, play. No shame here.
Yes, it is.
No king shame here. Yeah, all about anime. I think that wraps it up for the show. I'd like to thank everybody who was in chat. Hope we didn't spoil too much for you guys, but you guys didn't leave the show, so thanks for sticking around. Jeremy, where can everybody follow you at?
You can find me on Twitch at GoFo Podcast. If you're not checking us out already on Twitch, we are there at twitch.tv/GoFoGaming. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JVader82.
That is right. You can find me, Mateo83, on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Check me out there, where me and my son are doing wrestling moves to stuffed animals. And you can catch me on Instagram, where me and my son are busting open Pokemon cards at least once a week. So check us out there. Everybody, go watch Black Widow. Have some fun. Enjoy the movie. Check out our show. Check us out on Anchor. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll play on the show. Rate and review, and thanks for everything. Laters, geeks.